Unfortunately, everyone's being brainwashed by the media. We all need to work together. And perhaps nobody appears to be more brainwashed to me than an actor I really used to like. You see, Matthew McConaughey has decided to make a video. He put out a video saying that basically we all have to come together. Really beautiful images of children. That one not really wearing a mask, I'm not sure why, but these guys were. Waving American flags, doctors fighting for on the front lines, the military, God bless America, can't we come together as a team? This is about us, the USA, just keep living with contact tracing, surveillance, masks, and quarantine. I guess if you call that living, he made his circuit run across the media. This is what Matthew McConaughey was saying. I can't tell you how annoyed I was. I really did once like this guy as an actor. Take a look at this.
Matthew McConaughey, the founder of the Just Keep Living Foundation. What made you and your wife do this? What's driving you here?
I could feel that this united purpose we all have as Americans to beat this enemy and this virus, that purpose got hijacked a bit by partisan politics. All of a sudden, the narrative became, well, if you want to go to work, you must be on the far right. And if you want to stay at home, you must be on the far left. That created a false divide. That is not true. We're not going to beat this virus the way that we can if we're fighting each other. We don't have room for two wars right now. If we try to fight both of those wars, we're going to lose both of them. But if we try to fight the one against the virus, which is the one we should be fighting, then we're going to beat it. Now even the mask wearing is getting politicized, where if you want to wear a mask, you wear a mask, you're a liberal, and if you don't, you're a conservative. We are waiting for science to catch up with us. The mask is about letting science catch up. If you are going to reengage right now, please wear a mask. A mask is a very good tool for that. And I have not heard any science that says it's not. So I don't even understand how there's a real argument. I haven't heard any science that says that is not a good idea. People still think, oh, you know, it's a bit of a retreat, or I want to express my freedoms or my independence. And I think they're just looking at it the wrong way. It should be a badge of honor right now. About us uniting, everyone do it. I'm protecting you. You protect me. This is not about politics. It's about us.
I couldn't agree more. This is not about politics, you know. But what Matthew McConaughey is asking is we should all be on a team, on the team of people who are neurotic and panic, not on the team of science. Don't listen to those people. Don't listen to Ioannidis and Katz and all the people speaking to our government. Don't listen to, you know, Peter Gutcha and all the scientists. Forget the fact that the imperial model has crashed, that Tony Fauci has been wrong every time. Keep listening to him, because we've got to wait for the science to catch up. No. No. That is not all right, all right, all right. That is all wrong, all wrong, all wrong. Come on now, Matthew. The science doesn't have to catch up. Our leaders, our experts have got to wake up to the fact that they were dead wrong about all of the stats when it comes to COVID-19. That's just simply the fact. And I'm really shocked, Matthew, that you can't look at the science around the world, that you can't see the death rates and see that this looks like a bad flu. Well, oh, by the way, explain this to me, Matthew. Sweden, Taiwan, South Korea, please, man. You want to lock us down? Your team is a team of terror and fear and panic, of wearing masks. I mean, you have kids, Matthew, about the same age as mine, and I'm telling you, I'm not going to raise my kids to believe that they should be afraid to breathe the freaking air that of the planet they live on. I happen to even once in a while go to a church that I know Matthew McConaughey is really a part of. You think God has something in the air that's going to kill us? Is that what you're teaching your children? Is that what you want in your schools? Are you starting to see these images around the world? Children with masks and shelters in their schools, being socially distanced, stuck in square boxes, more than 6 feet away from each other? My God, if this is the future, if being on a team means this is the world I live in, then you're right. I am not a team player. There is an I in team. It's called self-preservation, or there's an I in intelligence. Use your mind, Matthew. There are only like two or three scientists, Tony Fauci, Deborah Birx, and a couple of people at the WHO that have got you believing that we are all going to die. We are not going to die. Trust me. In fact, you are going to do just fine. Your kids are going to do just fine. And if Andrew Cuomo and those people would stop sending sick people into the one place we should lock down, where there probably should be some masks used, then we would be through this by now. And we would have herd immunity by now. But the mask is our badge of honor. I haven't seen any science that says that the mask is a problem at all. Really? Well, then obviously you didn't see this article by the world-renowned scientist, Dr. Russell Blaylock. Here's a couple of quotes from a brilliant article. Blaylock: face masks pose serious risk to the healthy. Listen to this. As for the scientific support for the use of face masks, a recent careful examination of the literature, in which 17 of the best studies were analyzed, concluded that none of the studies established a conclusive relationship between mask respirator use and protection against influenza infection. Several studies have indeed found significant problems, however, with wearing such a mask. This can vary from headaches to increased airway resistance, carbon dioxide accumulation, to hypoxia, all the way to serious life-threatening complications. While most agree that the N95 mask can cause significant hypoxia and hypercapnia, another study of surgical masks found significant reductions in blood oxygen as well. In this study, researchers examined the blood oxygen levels in 53 surgeons using an oximeter. They measured blood oxygenation before surgery as well as at the end of surgeries. The researchers found that the mask reduced the blood oxygen levels significantly. The longer the duration of wearing the mask, the greater the fall in blood oxygen levels. And lastly, studies have shown that hypoxia can inhibit the type of main immune cells used to fight viral infections called the CD4 T lymphocyte cells. This sets the stage for contracting any infection, including COVID-19, and making the consequences of that infection much graver. In essence, your mask may very well put you at an increased risk of infections, and if so, having a much worse outcome. There's actually one more. When a person is infected with a respiratory virus, they will expel some of the virus with each breath. If they're wearing a mask, especially an N95 mask or other tightly fitting mask, it will be constantly rebreathing the viruses, raising the concentration of the virus in the lungs and the nasal passages. By wearing a mask, the exhaled viruses will not be able to escape and will concentrate in the nasal passages, enter the olfactory nerves, and travel into the brain. See, that's the eye of intelligence. These are the eyes that can read, and Matthew, you should be using your eyes. Especially now that you're touting yourself, I guess you're Professor Matthew McConaughey. You now, you know, work at the University of Texas, I believe, professor of practice, script to screen, Moody College of Communications. It's quite a resume. But if you don't want to listen to, Russell Blaylock, then maybe there are other scientists. Maybe I have to, you know, collect scientists. Maybe I have to find a scientist that has a little bit longer CV than you do. How about Dolores Cahill, Ph.D.? I'm not making this up. This is like a movie. It goes on. Look at this TV. On and on and on. Would you take her word for it, Matthew? I'm joined by Professor Dolores Cahill right now. That was pretty awesome. You have quite a background. Can you maybe in like 60 seconds give me a sense of your background? I mean, you've been very close to, there was a Human Genome Project, but you have really deciphered the proteins that are in the body. Tell me a little bit about your history, your past, and your work.
Great. Thank you. Lovely to see you again, Del. Yeah, my degree is in molecular genetics. My PhD is in immunology. I was targeting drugs and toxins like ricin to try and help brain tumor patients. And then I went on to the Max Planck and I ran a group there and I invented a technology and a suite of patents to make high content protein arrays. And at that time, it was quite disruptive. We had around 8,000 different human proteins and we were able to test the specificity of antibodies. And we also were able to profile the antibodies in serum for people who had autoimmune diseases and cancer and viral infections. And what was very interesting is up to that time, people would characterize around eight proteins, and we were able to characterize against 8,000. And there's about 20,000 proteins in the human genome expressed, and so I made these high content arrays. And at the time, we were then able to take published antibodies from research publications and diagnostic labs and look at the specificity and cross-reactivity of antibodies. And I also worked on a meningitis vaccine, and I worked in the class 2-3 safety lab, and then I ran that lab for about 3 years. And the last thing is to say that because of high-content protein arrays, we're able to look at the specificity and cross-reactivity of antibodies, but at one amino acid level, so that you can actually do epitope mapping. And we were also able to profile if a person naturally cleared a virus or a bacteria like meningitis, exactly what were the proteins, the antibodies against what proteins that made them, we'll say in meningitis, not die, and then take those proteins and epitope map the antibody to the amino acid level. And I developed a company, Protogen, as you know, in 1997, co-founded it. And we were kind of quite world leaders at the time to make diagnostic assays. And also we looked at companion diagnostics for why did people respond to certain drugs and not, and also to profile people who had adverse events. So including unusual symptoms like chronic fatigue.
All right. I'm sure you could go on and on and on, but I don't want to do, you know, I want to admit to Matthew McConaughey, I only understood about half of that stuff too. So we're together on that. But so I think what we can glean from this is that you understand viruses at a very, you know, like profoundly microscopic level. You've been watching this COVID-19. I have a lot of questions for you. But I wanted to start the discussion with masks. You know, Russell Blaylock is a world-renowned doctor who's come out and said there is a danger to wearing these things. Do you agree with him? What are your thinking when you look at disease profiles and viruses and bacteria? Are masks effective at keeping us healthy?
So I would say it's the third slide there. There's a table that just compares coronaviruses with Ebola viruses. So if it was an Ebola virus outbreak, then a mask would be affected because Ebola virus is transmitted through the air. But in the case of coronavirus, it's not transmitted through the air. It's transmitted through droplets that then would drop on the surface like a door handle. So in coronavirus, there is absolutely no need to wear a mask. And also that means there's no necessity for coronaviruses. But also I entirely agree with Professor Blaylock, who has an outstanding track record and is very experienced in this area, that because the mask is covering you, you have less oxygen, and that puts your immune system under stress. And then the latent viruses that are in your body, because you're under immune stress, will reappear. And not only will you have more coronavirus, but if you had other latent viruses, it would allow them to reemerge. And the reason why they reemerge is that nutrition and vitamins and stress are very important to have good nutrition, have very little stress on the body, and ensure that you have vitamins to keep your immune system working. And in this case, in coronavirus, the immune system can clear the virus within, you know, 10 or 11 days. So I would definitively say for coronavirus, there is no need for masks, and also there is no need for social distancing. So I'm actually looking in Ireland to see whether we can take precedence cases against, you know, legally, because the government scientists, and our Taoiseach is a doctor and the Minister for Health, that they are making policy decisions that actually will make people sicker. So there is no need to wear masks. And also, as your earlier commentary, that there will be more deaths, you know, that in the United Kingdom, for example, normally there are 5,000 people diagnosed with cancer in a month, and there's only 25,000. So there are issues around heart attacks being not treated properly, early diagnosis of cancer, and also issues around depression. So I am saying that in Ireland, any deaths that result, we'll say, from 10 days' time are entirely unnecessary. And we will be counting those deaths and holding our Prime Minister and Minister for Health personally to account, because I think it's verging on almost a crime against humanity. You know, there are deaths, hundreds of deaths will happen because of the policies that they're doing, keeping people in their homes where they should be informed, good nutrition, vitamins, and people who have no underlying conditions and are under 70 should engage in the next 10 days and interact with society to build up the herd immunity and go back to work. And I would be saying that any closure really in Ireland after the 25th of May is unnecessary. And I would even consider, you know, the same in America, and that perhaps people should consider actually going about their daily lives on the 25th of May, because it is entirely unnecessary what's going on. And I do have one slide there with the three outbreaks. This is actually from the director of the CDC, and it was presented at a US presidential meeting. And this clearly shows it ranges from December 2019 to the 12th of April 2020, that when viruses circulate the globe, they actually circulate the globe within about 3 or 4 to 6 weeks. And that this flu season, as normal, influenza B circulated influenza A and COVID-19. So what happens then as well is that everybody in the globe are exposed to these viruses. And people, you know, the majority of people will not have any symptoms, and they will develop an immune response and clear it. And then a certain percentage of the population will have flu-like symptoms. And I am saying that only about 1 in 100 people will go on to develop a cough. And because we now are totally aware that the drug hydroxychloroquine with AZT and zinc can actually prevent those people from ever reaching hospital, that there is actually, you know, a well-known prevention and a treatment. And because we have that, it's then entirely unnecessary to have these lockdowns. And I am happy to join the other scientists in the world to call it out. But I do think there has to be legal consequences for the deaths after, we'll say, the 25th of May, for politicians and scientists advising them. And they also have to really join in each of our countries with the scientists. There has to be debates on national broadcasting TV for the scientists who think like I do, to actually hold, you know, the ministers have to say what scientists specifically are saying that the lockdown is necessary, masks are necessary.
I too agree with you that I would like to know, I mean, I would really like to have the people step forward and stand forward and say, who among you are behind the lockdown, the use of masks, those of you that are saying hydroxychloroquine doesn't work, and that this is a deadly epidemic that warrants a quarantine. I would like to see all those people stand next to each other so we know who will be responsible. If you like that clip, then be sure to check out our live broadcast of The High Wire every Thursday morning at 11 a.m. Pacific time. You can watch it on Facebook, YouTube, iTunes, and Twitter. We'll see you there.